Welcome back to the Hemingway List, the podcast where we do things the Hemingway. We're looking at Book 11, Chapter 1 of The Brothers Karamazov, and then we'll be reading Chapter 2. Yes, we will. Just checking out the length of it. 8 pages. Okay, we can do that. Someone lied about something? Question mark. That's one of the questions I asked you guys about Chapter 1. The other question was this. Someone told Grushenka that they had a secret from her that they wouldn't tell her, but they would tell Alyosha as long as Alyosha said he would tell Grushenka because they love Katerina, except that was a lie and they don't really love Katerina? Question mark. And question number 3 was just general confusion. I don't know. I was lost. Tolstoy. I was about to say Leo Tolstoy. Dosto has a way of just taking something I'm sure is not that convoluted. Like, someone has a secret, something's going on, and just explaining it in the most convoluted, confusing, tedious way possible. To the point where I just don't follow. I do not follow what he's trying, what he's trying to get at. I Am Norwegian said, Grushenka, like Ilyusha, became sick from their emotional and spiritual struggles, but Grushenka emerged changed. At first, I was a little afraid that she would have changed completely into some saintly character. Luckily, we just got some good character growth in her. She still feels like Grushenka. Who is Rakitika? Rakitka. I'm assuming it's Rakitin, the douchebag. Why are the Poles still in the area? Dmitri is still ranting about the child he saw in his dream. It's interesting that it's still having an impact, such an impact on him. The child was the one thing I understood the least in his dream. The Poles, why are the Poles still in the area? Tekrific said the Pole is trying to borrow money from Grushenka. He seems desperate. He started off with wanting a large sum, but with each successive letter the sum got smaller and smaller. I Am Norwegian said, yeah, I thought that was funny. I would have expected them to skedaddle with the 200 rubles after discovering that Grushenka wasn't interested, though. Tekrific also said, question number 2, it's Mitya they're talking about, but I don't know what secret he's talking about. Laura Weistich said, I don't think anyone does yet. Something with Ivan, and we haven't heard anything about Ivan for many chapters now. Right. So Mitya, who's being tried for murder very soon, has a secret between him and Ivan, and he's told Grushenka that he has this secret, but he also told Grushenka that he won't tell her what the secret is. But he also told Grushenka that if Alyosha asks him what the secret is, he will tell Alyosha as long as Alyosha tells him that he will tell Grushenka. Right? That was what I was... That's what it said. So I don't know what the hell that means or what kind of, like, human logic would bring real people to such a situation. But that's apparently what Dosto wants us to... That's where he wants us to be. So if you can suspend your reality sufficiently to go along with that, then more power to you. Chapter 2 is called The Injured Foot, and it goes like this. The first of these things, was at the house of Madame Holokov, and he hurried to get it over as quickly as possible and not to be late for Mitya. Madame Holokov had been slightly ailing for the last 3 weeks. Her foot had, for some reason, swollen up, and though she was not in bed, she lay all day half reclining on the couch in her boudoir in a fascinating but decorous dishabille. Alyosha had once noted with innocent amusement that, in spite of her illness, Madame Holokov had begun to be rather dressy. Topknots, ribbons, loose wrappers had made their appearance, and he had an inkling of the reason, though he dismissed such ideas from his mind as frivolous. What ideas? During the last 2 months, the young official, Perhotin, had become a regular visitor at the house. Alyosha had not called for 4 days, and he was in haste to go straight to Lisa, as it was with her he had to speak. For Lisa had sent a maid to him the previous day, specially asking him to come to her about something very important, a request which, for certain reasons, had interest for Alyosha. But while the maid went to take his name into Lisa, Madame Holokov heard of his arrival from someone, and immediately sent to beg him to come to her just for 1 minute. Alyosha reflected that it was better to accede to the mama's request, or else she would be sending down to Lisa's room every minute for that he was there. Madame Holikov was lying on a couch. She was particularly smartly dressed and was evidently in a state of extreme nervous excitement. She greeted Alyosha with cries of rapture. "It's ages, ages, perfect ages since I've seen you. It's a whole week. Only think of it. Ah, but you were here only 4 days ago. On Wednesday you have come to see Lisa. I'm sure you meant to sleep into her room on tiptoe without my hearing you. My dear Alexei Fyodorovich. If you only knew how worried I am about her, but of that later, though, that's the most important thing, of that later. Dear Alexei, I trust you implicitly with my Lisa. Since the death of Father Zosima, God rest his soul," she crossed herself, "I looked upon you as a monk. Though you look charming in your new suit, where did you find such a tailor in these parts? No, no, that's not the chief thing of that later. Forgive me for sometimes calling you Alyosha. An old woman like me may take liberties." She smiled coquettishly, "but that will do later, too. The important thing is that I shouldn't forget what is important. Please remind me of it yourself as soon as my tongue runs away with me. You just say the most important thing. Ach, how do I know? Now, what is the most important? Ever since Lisa took back her promise, her childish promise, Alexei Fyodorovich, to marry you, you've realized, of course, that it was only the playful fancy of a sick child who had been so long confined to her chair. Thank God she can walk now. That new doctor, Ketcher, sent from Moscow for your unhappy brother who will tomorrow, but why speak of tomorrow? I am ready to die in that very thought of tomorrow, ready to die of curiosity. The doctor was with us yesterday, and I saw Lisa. I paid him 50 rubles for the visit, but that's not the point. That's not the point again. You see, I'm mixing everything up. I am in such a hurry. Why am I in a hurry? I don't understand. It's awful how I seem growing unable to understand anything. Everything seems mixed up in sort of a tangle. I am afraid you are so bored you will jump up and run away, and that will be all I shall see of you. Goodness, why are you sitting here? And no coffee, Yulia, glorified coffee. Alyosha made haste to thank her and call an exorcist, because clearly she was possessed by some kind of demonic spirit, causing her to just ramble at a young man in completely illogical flows. And said that he had only just had coffee. Where? Agrafena Alexandrovna's. By the way, that was dialogue, by the way. That was Dostoy's attempted dialogue. Just read that dialogue a couple of times, and tell me this isn't one of the worst books you've ever read. Like that. That's not how humans talk. Anywhere, ever, any people. That's not how people talk. Where? At Agrafena Alexandrovna's. At that woman's. Ah, it's she that brought ruin on everyone. I know nothing about it, though. They say she has become a saint, though it's rather late in the day. She had better have done it before. What use is it now? Hush, hush, Alexei, for I have so much to say to you that I am afraid I shall tell you nothing. This awful trial. I shall certainly go. I am making arrangements. I shall be carried there in my chair. Besides, I can sit up. I shall have people with me. And you know, I am a witness. How shall I speak? I don't know what I shall say. One has to take an oath, hasn't one? Yes, but I don't think you will be able to go. See, how does he know to reply there? At that point, how does he know to slip in a little sentence? Like, she just says all these questions and phrases and then non sequiturs and like random little thoughts, and then repeats the same thing two or three times, and then jumps from one thought to another and from one topic to another. But then at some point they'll randomly be like the other character chimes in, but it's like, why is that the question he chose to answer, when in that previous paragraph she's asked him like five or six questions and jumped from topic to topic? Doesn't make sense. I can sit up. Ah, you put me out. Ah, this trial, this savage act. And then they are all going to Siberia. Some are getting married, and all this so quickly. Everything's changing. At last, nothing. All grow old and have death to look forward to. Well, so be it. I am weary. This catcher, cette charmante personne, has disappointed all my hopes. Now she is going to follow one of your brothers to Siberia, and your other brother is going to follow her, and will live in the nearest town, and they will torment one another. It drives me out of my mind. Worst of all, the publicity. The story has been told a million times over in the papers in Moscow and Petersburg. Yes, would you believe it? There's a paragraph that I was a dear friend of your brothers. I can't repeat the horrid word. Just fancy, just fancy. Impossible. Where was that paragraph? What did it say? I'll show you directly. I got the paper and read it yesterday here in the Petersburg paper gossip. The paper began coming out this year. I am awfully fond of this gossip. I take it in, and now it pays me to announce gossip here too, and here it is, and this passage, here it is, read it. And she handed Alyosha a sheet of newspaper which had been under her pillow. It was not exactly that she was upset. She seemed overwhelmed, and perhaps everything really was mixed up in a tangle in her head. The paragraph was very typical and must have been a great shock to her, but fortunately, perhaps she was unable to keep her mind fixed on any one subject at that moment, and so might race off in a minute to something else and quite forget the newspaper. Alyosha was well aware that the story of the terrible case had spread all over Russia, and good heavens, what wild rumours about his brother, about the Karamazovs, and about himself he had read in the course of these 2 months, among other equally credible items. One paper had even stated that he had gone into the monastery and became a monk in horror at his brother's crimes. Another contradicted this and stated that he and his older father Zosima had broken into the monastery chest and made tracks with the monastery, with the present paragraph in the gossip. Paper gossip was under the heading "The Karamazov Case at the Skoptop Prigonyevsk." That, alas, was the name of our little town. I had hitherto kept it concealed. It was brief, and Madame Herlikov was not directly mentioned in it. No names appeared. In fact, it was merely stated that the criminal whose approaching trial was making such a sensation, retired army captain, an idle swaggerer and reactionary bully, was continually involved in amorous intrigues and particularly popular with certain ladies who were pining in solitude. One such lady, a pining widow who tried to seem young though she had a grown-up daughter, was so fascinated by him that only 2 hours before the crime she offered him 3,000 rubles on condition that he would elope with her to the gold mines. But the criminal, counting on escaping punishment, had preferred to murder his father to get the 3,000 rather than go off to Siberia with the middle-aged charms of this pining lady. His playful paragraph finished, of course, with an outburst of generous indignation at the wickedness of parricide and that lately abolished institution of serfdom. Reading it with curiosity, Alyosha folded up the paper and handed it back to Madame Helikov. "Well, that must be me," she hurried on again. "Of course I am meant. Of course I am meant. That's the sentence. Of course I am meant. Scarcely more than an hour before I suggested gold mines to him, and here they talk of middle-aged charms, as though that were my motive. He writes that out of spite. God Almighty, forgive him for the middle-aged charms, as I forgive him. Do you know who it is? It's your friend Rakitin." "Perhaps," said Alyosha, "though I've heard nothing about it. It is he. No perhaps about it. You know I turned him out of the house. You know all that story, don't you? I know that you asked him not to visit you for the future, but why it was I haven't heard, from you at least. And then you've heard it from him. He abuses me, I suppose, abuses me dreadfully?" Yes, he does, but then he abuses everyone. But why you've given him up? I haven't heard from him either. I met him very seldom now, indeed. We are not friends. Well then, I'll tell you all about it. There's no hope for... Here we go, here's another one of these. This is dialogue. "Well then, I'll tell you all about it. There's no help for it, I'll confess, for there is one point in which I was perhaps to blame, only a little point, so little that perhaps it doesn't count. You see, my dear boy," Madame Herlikov suddenly looked arch, and a charming, though enigmatic smile played about her lips. "You see, I suspect you must forgive me, Alyosha. I am like a mother to you. No, no, quite the contrary. I speak to you now as though you were my father. Mother's quite out of place. Well, it's as though I were confessing to Father Zosima. That's just it. I called you a monk just now. Well, that poor young man, your friend Rakitin, mercy on us. I can't be angry with him. I feel cross, but not very. That frivolous young man, would you believe it, seems to have taken it into his head to fall in love with me. I only noticed it later. At first, a month ago, of course, we were acquainted before. I knew nothing about it, and suddenly it dawned upon me, and I began to notice things with surprise. You know, 2 months ago, the modest, charming, excellent young man, Ilyich Perhotin, who is in the service here, began to be a regular visitor at my house. You met him here ever so many times yourself, and he is an excellent, earnest young man, isn't he? He comes once every 3 days, not every day, although I should be glad to see him every day. and also always well, so well dressed. Together, I love young people, Alyosha, talented, modest like you, and he has almost the mind of a statesman. He talks so charmingly, and I shall certainly, certainly try to get promotion for him. He is a diplomat, a future diplomat. On that awful day, he almost saved me from death by coming in the night, and your friend Rakitin comes in such boots and always stretches them out in the carpet. He began hinting at his feelings. In fact, on one day, as he was going, he squeezed my hand terribly hard. My foot began to swell directly after he pressed my hand like that. He had met Peter Ilyich here before, and wouldn't you believe it, he was always jibing at him, growling at him for some reason. I simply looked at the way they went on together and laughed inwardly. So I was sitting here alone. No, I was laid up then. Well, I was lying here alone, and suddenly Rakitin comes in. And only fancy, brought me some verses of his own composition, a short poem on my bad foot. That is, he described my foot in a poem. Wait a minute, how did it go? A captivating little foot, it began, something like that. I can never remember poetry. I got it here. I'll show it to you later, but it's a charming thing, charming. And you know, it's not only about the foot, it had a good moral too, a charming idea, only I've forgotten it. In fact, it was just the thing for an album. So of course I thanked him, and he evidently was that flattered. I hardly had time to thank him when in comes Peter Ilyich, and Rakitin suddenly looked as black as night. I could see that Peter Ilyich was in the way, for Rakitin certainly wanted to say something after giving me the verses. I had a presentiment of it, but Peter Ilyich came in. I showed Peter Ilyich the verses, and didn't say who was the author, but I am convinced that he guessed, though he won't own it to this day and declares he had no idea, but he says that on purpose. Peter Ilyich began to laugh at once and fell to criticizing it. Wretched doggerel, he said they were. Some divinity student must have written them, and with such vehemence. Then instead of laughing, your friend flew into a rage. Good gracious, I thought. They'll fly at each other. It was I who wrote them, said he. I wrote them as a joke, he said, for I think it degrading to write verses, but they are good poetry. They want to put a monument to your Pushkin for writing about women's feet, while I wrote with a moral purpose, and you, he said, he are an advocate of serfdom. You've no humane ideas, said he. You have no modern enlightenment feelings. You are uninfluenced by progress. You are a mere official. You are uninfluenced by progress. You are a mere official, he said, and you take bribes. Then I began screaming and imploring them, and you know Peter Ilyich is anything but a coward. He at once took up the most gentlemanly tone, looked at him, sarcastically listened, and apologized. I had no idea, said he, I shouldn't have said it. If I had known, I should have praised it. Poets are also irritable, he said. In short, he laughed at him under cover of the most gentlemanly tone. He explained to me afterwards that it was all sarcastic. I thought he was in earnest, only as I lay there, just as before, and you know, I thought, would it or would it not be the proper thing for me to turn Rakitin out for shouting so rudely at a visitor in my house? And would you believe it, I lay here, shut my eyes, and wondered, would it be the proper thing or not? I kept worrying, and my heart began to beat, and I couldn't make up my mind whether to make an outcry or not. One voice seemed to be telling me, speak, and the other, no, don't speak. And no sooner had the second voice said that I cried out and fainted. Of course, there was a fuss. I got up suddenly and said to Rakitin, it's painful for me to say it, but I don't wish to see you in my house again. So I turned him out. Ah, Alexei Fyodorovich, I know myself I did wrong. I was putting it on. I was angry with him at all, really, but I suddenly fancied that was what did it, that it would be such a fine scene. And yet, believe me, it was quite natural, for I really shed tears and cried for several days afterwards, and then suddenly one afternoon I forgot all about it. So it's a fortnight since he's been here, and I kept wondering whether he would come again. I wondered even yesterday, then suddenly last night came this gossip. I read it and gasped. Who could have written it? He must have written it. He went home, sat down, wrote it on the spot, sent it, and they put it in. It was a fortnight ago, you see, but Alyosha, it's awful how I keep talking and don't say what I want to say. The words come out of themselves. It's very important for me to be in the time to see my brother today, Alyosha faltered. Alyosha said that then. That's the bit where he should reply after a solid 10-minute rant. All the characters do this. All the characters do these 3 or 4 page diatribes, and they're all in the exact same voice. None of the characters have their own voice. They all speak in the exact same ways. There's no personality difference between any character in this book. There's no personality. The only difference in their personality is them saying, I believe in this doctrine. And that's it. Because they... To be sure, you bring it all back to me. Listen, what is an aberration? What aberration, asked Alyosha, wondering, is the legal sense? In the legal sense, an aberration is which, in which everything is pardonable. Whatever you do, you'll be acquitted at once. What do you mean? I'll tell you, this catcher, she is a charming, charming creature, only I never can make out who it is she is in love with. She was with me some time ago, and I couldn't get anything out of her, especially as she won't talk to me except on the surface now. She is always talking about my health and nothing else, and she takes up a tone shift. You wrote for him. No, it wasn't you, but Catcher. It's all Catcher's doing. We'll see. Dimitri, blah, blah, blah. Okay. How did he seem then? He asked me. He must have been in a state of aberration. He came in shouting, money, money, 3,000. Give me the 3,000, and went away immediately. He did the murder. I don't want to murder him, he said, and suddenly he went and murdered him. That's why they acquit him, because of the struggle against him, and he murdered him, but he didn't murder him, Alyosha interrupted. Yes, I know he did. Grigory murdered him. Grigory, cried Alyosha. Yes, it was Grigory. He lay, Dimitri struck him down and then got up, saw the door, went in and killed Fyodor. But why, suffering from aberration. When he recovered from the blow Dimitri gave him on the head, he was suffering from aberration. He went and committed the murder. As for his saying he didn't, he very likely doesn't remember, only, you know, it'll be better, ever so much better, if Dimitri murdered him, and that's how it must be. Though I say it was Grigory, it certainly was Dimitri, and that's better, even so much better. Oh, not better that the son should have killed his father. I don't defend that. Children ought to honour their parents. Let them acquit him, that's so humane, and would show what a blessing reformed law courts are. I knew nothing about it. But they say they have been so a long time, and when I heard yesterday, I was so struck by it that I wanted to send for you at once, and if he is acquitted, make him come straight for the law courts to dinner with me, and I'll have a party of friends, and we'll drink the formal courts. I believe he could be dangerous, besides, I'll agree, blah, 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 and then he might have made a justice of the peace or something in another town for those who have been in trouble themselves, make the best judges, and besides, who isn't suffering an aberration nowadays? You and I, all of us, are in a state of aberration. Aberration, everyone has it. He takes a pistol and shoots the first person he comes across, and no one blames him for it. I read that lately, and all the doctors confirm it. The doctors are always confirming. They confirm anything. Why am I? Lisa is in this state of aberration. She made me cry yesterday, and the day before too, and the day before, and today, and I realize that suddenly today, it's all due to aberration. Oh, Lisa grieves me so. I believe she's quite mad. Why did you send? She send for you? Did she send for you, or did you come of yourself? Yes, she sent for me. I am just going to her. Alyosha got up resolutely. Oh, my dear, dear Alexei. Perhaps that's what's most important, Madame Holikov cried, suddenly bursting into tears. God knows I trust Lisa to you with all my heart, and it's no matter her sending for you on the sly without telling her idea, her mother. But forgive me, I can't trust my daughter. I'm still considered the most chivalrous young man, but... How? What? When? Alyosha was exceedingly surprised. He had not sat down again and listened standing. I will tell you. That's perhaps why I asked you to come, for I don't know now why I didn't ask you to come. Well, Ivan Fyodorovich has been to see me twice since he came back from Moscow. The first time he came as a friend to call on me, and the second time Katya was here, and he came because he heard she was here. I didn't, of course, expect him to come often, knowing blah, 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 blah. But I suddenly heard he'd been here again, not to see me, but to see Lisa. That's 6 days ago. He came, stayed 5 minutes, and I didn't hear of it till 3 days afterwards from Glarifa. So it was a great shock to me. I sent for Lisa directly, and she laughed. He thought you were asleep, she said, and came in to me after asking for your help. Oh, of course, that's how it happened. But Lisa, mercy on us, how she distresses me. Would you believe it? One night, 4 days ago, just after you saw her last time, and had gone away, she suddenly had a fit, screaming, shrieking. Why is it? I never have hysterics. Then, next day, another fit, and the same thing on the third, and yesterday too, and then yesterday that aberration. She suddenly screamed out, "I hate Ivan Fyodorovich. I insist on your never letting him come to the house again." I was struck dumb. A At these amazing words, and answered, on what grounds could I refuse to see such an excellent young man? I am a man of such learning, and too so unfortunate, for all his business is a misfortune, isn't it? She suddenly burst out laughing at my words. While I was pleased, I thought I had amused her, and the fits would pass off, especially as I wanted to refuse to see Ivan anyway, on account of his strange visits without my knowledge, and meant to ask him for an explanation. But early this morning, Lisa waked up and flew into a passion with Yulia, and would you believe it, slapped her in the face. That's monstrous. I am always polite to my servants, and an hour later she was hugging Yulia's feet and kissing them. She sent a message to me and was coming to me. I dragged myself down to her. She rushed to kiss me, crying, and she kissed me and pushed me out of the room without saying a word, so I couldn't find out what was the matter. Now, dear Alexei, I rest all my hopes on you and, of course, my whole life in your hands. I simply beg you to go to Lisa and find out everything from her, and as you alone can, and come back and tell me and her mother. Blah, 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 simply death. If this goes on, or I shall run away, I can't stand no more. I can stand no more, I have patience, but I may lose patience, and then dot, 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 then something awful will happen. Ah, dear me, at last, Peter Ilyich, cried Madame Halakov, beaming all over as she saw Perotin enter the room. You are late, you are late. I'll sit down, speak, put us out of suspense. What does the council say? Where are you off to? Alexei, to Lisa. Oh, yes, you won't forget what I asked you. It's a question of life and death. Of course I won't forget, if I can, but I am so late, muttered Alyosha, beating a hasty retreat. No, be sure to come in. Don't say if you can. I shall die if you don't. Madame Holikov called after him, but Alyosha had already left the room. There we go. Whatever that was. Have your say over at reddit.com/r/thehemingwaylist. That is going to do us for today's episode. Thanks for listening. I'll see you tomorrow.